Good morning, I'm Dr. Rachel Elder from the Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering at the University of Sheffield, and this morning I'm talking to Dr. Kay Guccioni, who is the Postdoctoral Research Training and Development Advisor in the Faculty of Medicine, Dentistry and Health, and we're going to be talking about the benefits of a local postdoc society. So, Kay, what do you think are the benefits of a local postdoc society?
I think they're great, actually. Having a society for research staff really brings together individuals who can really otherwise tend to lead quite isolated existences, perhaps just one or two people per lab or per group. And it helps to bring them into local networks, support networks, both physically and mentally. And I think it can really nurture collaborative style thinking. And I don't just mean research collaborations, but also people would tend to think, I'm not alone, I've got somewhere to go, I've got people I can consult. And it helps them to also benchmark themselves against their peers. Having a committee style or a society style structure, I think really helps to focus the needs of researchers as a body of staff across a faculty or a department. And it helps to channel their opinions and their needs through an official vote within the structure at work. I think the department or the faculty tends to benefit as well, because researchers who are in the society, A, they act as role models within the culture of postdocs, sort of demonstrating proactivity and having interests outside of their direct research area. Also, it aids recognition of that body of staff. I think the faculty gets, in the end, a more supported community of staff who are able to engage with things that the faculty does, so contributing to faculty targets and objectives, and then with the resulting higher morale and therefore higher productivity that the mutual respect of two groups of people will bring.
So if we were to set up a local postdoc society in the Faculty of Engineering, where would we start?
I think there are several things to consider, but they probably will need to happen initially and quite simultaneously, really. First, I would identify, as there always are, a few very enthusiastic people who actually actively want to set it up, and form them into a working group to steer the development of the society. And probably the second thing that needs to happen is to get some academic staff on board to promote this idea from the top down. You really need that encouragement from the direct line managers and PIs of researchers to sort of give them permission, really, to go. Administrative assistance has been absolutely vital in what our postdoc societies achieve, just to do things like maintaining mailing lists. I mean, when the nature of research contracts is that they're short, 2 or 3 years, the person who keeps that mailing list might leave, everyone has to start again from scratch, that kind of thing. So administrative assistance. And then the third thing is to really identify a good draw for researchers, a way to pull them all in together and to help them to see what they stand to gain from society membership, rather than asking them to devote their time to it without really spelling out the benefits.
So if we were to follow your model of a postdoc society, what kind of resources do you think we would need?
Actually, not much at all. They're quite good value for money, having a research staff association. Administrative assistance, as I mentioned before, just to keep those mailing lists, to book rooms, and to deal with anything related to finance or accounting is useful. I would say that your postdocs would probably want some training, or at least some guidance in committee structures, sort of formal committee structures and processes, so they're able to keep good records of their meetings and set up agendas in a formal way. Perhaps a small allowance in the initial stages for refreshments for meetings or information sessions, but I would also argue that the postdoc society needs to be bringing in their own money and paying for those things themselves eventually. Training in perhaps web page management or communications channels is helpful, so they can communicate their aims and their proceedings of the society, and then maybe somebody to help signpost them towards or translate national policy on research careers for them, help them with that.
A lot of our ECRs are quite busy with their own research, so do you have any suggestions of how to get them involved with the society and actually take ownership of it?
So if you help them to see the value of the work in terms of what transferable skills they gain, and how those skills that they'll gain from inputting into the society will relate to their employability in a range of career types. So, for example, events management, committee inputs, managing budgets, managing finance, managing whole projects and things like that. If you can really spell that out to them and show them how their input can actually affect the changes that they want to see at work, they're infinitely more likely to come along than if you just ask for people to help with something. And then by really consulting them on postdoc issues and involving them in the decisions that are made. So, for example, in the Faculty of Medicine, Dentistry and Health, all of our professional development workshops are developed with input from the postdoc society. We don't run anything that they haven't seen the schedule for and had the opportunity to comment on.
So your postdoc society has been running for quite a few years now. Do you have any new ideas for future developments?
Yes. This year we have initiated a couple of new things, actually. So we ran, in previous years, a series of very successful rep-sponsored coffee mornings where a rep would come in, pay £250 to have a pitch. And we've accrued some money from that, and that's been used this year to set up a continuing professional development fund. And all postdocs across the faculty can apply competitively for small awards of around £200, and that would fund them to go, say, visit another lab to pick up a particular technique, or to travel somewhere as a small travel grant, or to go to a conference. And that's been really popular. Lots and lots of applications for that. And another huge development, which is just rolling out at the moment, is that the researchers in the society are leading on a teaching module for postgrad research students this year. They've received the training and they're going to be developing groups of PhD students through the skills that are needed to be able to critically review and appraise literature in their field. And this has really gained them university-wide recognition for their work.
Now, Robert's funding is probably coming to an end this year, so have you any ideas as to how a postdoc society can support itself in the future?
Yes, I would say every social event we've run has been by ticket, so those tend to fund themselves. I wouldn't think they would need a large amount of money to put on anything like that. There was a more social event, and as I mentioned before, the coffee mornings bringing in about £250 every fortnight. And really, there's hardly any administrative cost to keeping this running. It's just keeping people engaged and keeping them on the right committees. So, Rachel, I know that you're in the process at the moment of developing your own postdoc society across the faculty. Have you encountered any problems in setting it up? What have the sticking points been?
I think the biggest problem we've had was actually getting the postdocs together in the first place. As you mentioned, there are quite a lot of enthusiastic individuals around the faculty, but actually getting them together in the same place at the same time to bring their ideas together and decide what they would want to get out of a postdoc society and how they might run it, that's definitely been one of the hardest things to achieve. We're lucky in that we do have support from the faculty. There's a few higher up people in the faculty who are quite keen to help, so they have assisted with funding to get the initial events off the ground. So hopefully now they'll be able to create a programme of events themselves.
Okay. And from what you've learnt from the experiences from our medical school postdoc society, do you propose to do anything differently to the way we do it, and why? Why would that be?
Well, I think you guys have a really great system set up. The only things I think we're going to have to do differently is we don't have the funding to employ a full-time post like you have, like your post at the med school. So it's going to have to be much lower key to start with to try and get things moving, and then hopefully we'll be able to build on that and build into a bigger program as time goes on. But we definitely like to take some of the ideas of the different things that you do and expand on them and make them work for the engineering faculty as well. So, Kay, you mentioned that one thing or one person you have is a local society administrator. Is there anyone else you think we would need to have on board?
One thing that's been absolutely essential in right from the very beginning stages of this is having our early career group. The early career group is a committee of academic staff who are dedicated to research and development. So we have an academic champion for all kinds of research and development, including the postdoc society in each department, and just having somebody to chase up decisions and make sure that actions that are agreed are carried out has really helped us. Because I think once work is expected of the postdocs as a society, once they're expected to come and report back on progress to various people, it does tend to happen.
Okay, thanks very much, Kay. You've given some really useful ideas for how we can develop our own postdoc society, so thank you.
Okay, thanks.